Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
Welcome to the Move the Sticks podcast. It's Bucky Brooks, and I am joined by my guys. I got Rhett Lewis over here to my right. I got Lance Z over here to my left. You hear some background noise. It's the guys, the tight end group, are bench pressing over there. And I just want you to know that I declined my invitation to go over there and join the crew because I wanted to be right here in this seat talking to you guys about what we saw yesterday.
Yeah,
quarterbacks, wide receivers and stuff. We got to talk about it. First things first, what were your thoughts on the Bryce Young height situation and his size situation that came out?
We knew it was going to be the case. Coming in at 204, you know, he just put in some work to get to 204. He wanted to go over 200 and over by a few pounds. So, you know, I guess where some teams are going to say, okay, maybe subconsciously just seeing that two instead of that one in front of the number is going to be a big deal. Because you know what's going to happen now, Bucky? For all of eternity, he is not a guy who was a sub 200 quarterback. No matter what happens, whether he hits it big, is average, is flames out, he may be sub six, but he's not a sub 200 quarterback. And that's something I think was important for him and his camp.
Okay, so for the record, Bryce Young measures in at 5101. That's 5'10 and 1/8, 204 pounds, 30.5-inch arms, 9 3/4 hand. So, Ray, you know about those dimensions. What are your thoughts?
He's comparable to to Kyler Murray and to Russell Wilson in terms of height and weight. Look, I think it is what it is. As Lance said, we knew what we were going to see there. We knew what we were going to get, and that's what we got. And now, though, I think the biggest question is, you know, how much ground did the rest of the quarterback class maybe gain on Bryce Young based on the fact that they actually worked out here? There's some buzz now. And I think it's interesting that, you know, we're not going to see Bryce again till the second Alabama Pro Day. So maybe there's not as much weight on that frame the next time we see him. But he's already got the 200 pound.
You won't know it because he's not getting on the scale again.
It's all a bit of gamesmanship. It is what it is. It's fine. The dude can make plays. You just got to get comfortable.
Okay, I'm gonna do something right now. Now this is going to be after the bench press is done. Darnell Washington, Georgia monster, just stepping up. Over under for you, Bucky.
Oh, this 20, is good. This is live.
24.5.
I'm going to take the over.
Okay.
I'm going to take the over.
So as we continue to go, we'll hear the number yelled out here in a second.
We will hear the number. Darnell Washington, number zero in Georgia, the guy who is basically just a mobile offensive tackle on the edge.
Until he ran. Yeah, he's down to 265, 266. Yeah. He played in the 280s, they said.
Yeah,
so he got smaller just so he could be able to run, and nice he and ran light. Fast.
He ran good. Yeah, and he looks smooth.
His bench number is going to be lower than you think it looks like.
Yeah, it looks like it.
He also is, like I said, 15 pounds lighter right now. So very long arms, yes. Very long arms.
Super. It's hard for us guys with long arms. That's why I didn't have the bench up there like that.
21.
I said it pretty good.
Darnell Washington finishes with 21. And as we transition back to the quarterbacks, the thing about the Bryce Young thing, to me, the Kyler Murray comparison, the Russell Wilson comparison, unlike those guys, I don't think he runs around like those guys did. Like with Kyler Murray ran the ball, not a ton, but he ran a lot at Oklahoma. You could see him kind of be that.
He didn't run to get yards. He runs to make plays.
Yeah. And so Russell Wilson ran a little bit, but became more of a runner as he got to the league. Bryce Young is what you talk about, a creator. He runs around in the pocket.
Right.
He creates. Yeah. He does extend plays, but he is not looking to put the ball under his arm and tuck it and run. He extends and tries to keep it down the field. So it'd be interesting what scouts think about him with the size, the weight stuff now official as he continues to go through before his pro day.
Yeah.
I think that when it comes to Bryce Young, I think there's a delicate balance between running too much and not running enough. I'd like to actually see Bryce Young tuck and go sometimes, because even when he's out on the flanks and you see he's away from the rush, a lot of times he's still scanning, which you want him to scan. But every once in a while, you just say, look, don't go three-quarter speed. Let's tuck it and go as hard as you can to go get those yards. Sometimes he'll leave some yards on the field when he is running because he's just kind of cruising. I think that's – I will say this, though. And, man, when you're in person, I'm down on the field. Number one, I have not seen a physical specimen. Now, I didn't see Cam Newton in person. I watching Anthony Richardson, seeing him in person is unbelievable. And Will Levis is not a small guy either. No. Will Levis – is a big boy,
big,
too.
Wide frame.
Yeah. Those two guys, and then you see C.J. Stroud, and it's not the same. It's not the same. Then you see Bryce Young, who was in his hoodie, just hanging out with a backpack, and it's like, that was a shrewd move by Bryce Young. I don't know if it's intentional or not to come out of here and throw with these monsters out here, because you don't want anyone just in their head getting – you want to make sure that he has his own spotlight and that he's not compared against anybody when he's out there throwing. I think that's smart.
And Young probably would have come right after Richardson, Stroud. Yes. If you talk about alphabetical, Young right after that, you know, you're going to be – you're going to go from 6'4", 230, 6'3", 230 – 5'11", 5'10", 204. It looks different.
It does look different. And so let's talk about those guys, the specimens, as we'll call them. First, Will Levis measured in at 6037, 229 pounds. Ooh, you just talk about arm length, 10 and 5 eighths. Wow.
Big hand.
I mean, just ridiculous. And then you over here and you have Anthony Richardson, 6042.
That's a huge hand. 10 and 5 eighths? Yeah, wow, that is a huge hand for a quarterback.
Big. Dwarfs the ball.
Yeah, then you have Anthony Richardson, 6042, 244, 10 and a half.
Oh.
Hand. I mean, that's ridiculous.
This is what traits are. I mean, this is what it looks like. Traits.
I mean, when you think about it, like if you're drawing it up in a lab, I mean, you talk about someone that looks in that range, 6'3", 6'4", 235 plus pounds, that is exactly what the prototypical quarterback has been in our league for a long time.
I thought Levis and Richardson both got more comfortable the deeper the throws got. I thought there were a couple of them, and I thought Anthony did a nice job with those slant routes that they threw first. He put those on the money. Mm-hmm. He sprayed a couple of those 10 to 12 yard outs.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, the deep balls were fantastic. I thought he was terrific really all day. The Levis thing was weird. I'm going to stand up for a second.
Okay.
Cause I'm not a QB guru. Okay. I'm not a footwork guru, but I can tell what looks good. And this just felt weird to me.
So Red is, I'll,
I can't.
Oh, you're
wait,
tethered.
Man, hold on. I can do it. Tethered. I can do it.
Yeah, he's tethered. He can do it.
He's tethered.
I can do this.
So Rhett is right now, so he's dropping back. He's looking at a drop, so he's going to throw left. So he's rolling, backs up, and then rolls right to a semicircle, to the right, looking left. And then whenever he was going to throw right, Rhett comes that way, runs a semicircle to the left.
It was weird. He faded away. Basically, what Will Levis did, if this was basketball, he's taking step back jumpers.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, he's stepping away. He's got
angle.
He's got the old James Harden step, the old Dame Lillard step to the side, but throw to the right or to the left away from the step.
I didn't understand it. I didn't see anybody else doing it.
It didn't really make sense.
Weird.
And some of us would say when training goes wrong. Because that's not exactly what you want to see, because it didn't help his accuracy, and he was off the mark.
It's also a backside rush coming at you that you don't see, and you're getting closer to it.
It does. And so let's talk about it. Let's flip it, though. Let's talk about AR, because we can talk about AR-15.
Yeah.
Anthony Richardson. First, we can talk about all the athletic stuff that he showed before we got to the throwing. So Anthony Richardson, we gave the dimensions. He runs a 4.43 40. He vertical jumps 40 and a half inches. He has a 10.9 broad jump. We don't see quarterback.
This is wide receiver one stuff. I mean, dude, this isn't even linebacker stuff. He's linebacker size. He's actually an edge size, and he's having a workout like a wide receiver one. I mean, a 40-inch vertical, a 4.4 40, a broad. Did he broad? What did you say his broad was?
Broad jump was
almost 11, right?
9 inches.
I mean, these are big time. These are cornerback numbers. They're cornerback numbers at frankly, inside linebacker sizes. It's unbelievable.
He and Jalen Hyatt ran almost the exact same 40.
Yeah.
And so
at about 50 pounds heavier.
That's right. Crazy. And so when we think about it, like, we haven't seen anybody enter the league looking like that since Cam Newton.
Yep.
Well, and he,
and with mean, those kind of numbers.
And when they did the simulcast on the 40, I mean, he put Cam in the dust.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so here, the thing about it, because people will talk about that, because we're going to hear more of the Cam Newton comparison than any other comparison. They won't use the Josh Allen thing because Cam Newton was dominant physically, the stature, all those things. Anthony has better tools than Cam Newton. Cam Newton was a far better player in college, but you're going to have
that
conversation.
Josh tools. But to me, those are the three guys that are in their own category. Like, it's just because Cam still sprayed it around some too. And you know what? I heard people kind of down on his throwing yesterday. I, as someone who has had a big concern about Anthony Richardson's throwing, I thought his throwing was fine. I already know he's going to be inaccurate on some throws, but like a home run hitter who strikes out a little, I'm willing to take a few more strikeouts because he hits home runs. So I'm actually, there's a sliding scale. I expect more from CJ Stroud because he didn't have those legs. He can't, he can't create plays in a different way. He didn't, he actually showed more arm strength. So for me, you know, I'm willing to live with a little bit more from Will Levis, but not a lot more because he doesn't do as much with the legs. But I'm willing to live with some inconsistencies. I'm willing to live with some with Josh Allen. I was willing to live with some with Cam, and I'm willing to live with some with AR. But I thought he actually threw on frame more than I expected. The sideline throws, you know, that's tougher. Not going to be his thing.
They were tougher. Yeah,
but you know what? In thinking about that conversation, you talk about the sideline throws, a couple of different things. When I look at Anthony Richardson and his struggles throwing outside the numbers, it kind of coincides with what most of the athletic quarterbacks that we've seen, their issues. So when you go and you look at Lamar Jackson and Cam Newton, they were always at their best on throwing and breaking routes that were targeted inside the numbers. There is something about the ball over the middle of the field and those things. And so with Anthony Richardson, if I am a quarterback coach or an offensive coordinator, one, if we're considering him, we're thinking about completely retooling our offense to fit his skill set. So that means some quarterback runs, him heavy in the run game, and things that are in breaking. I am more willing to roll the dice on Anthony Richardson because his physical traits are superior to Will Levis than I would Will Levis.
I'm with you, and I was already in the rankings. I tell you what, I'm going to move him from a 6'3", which is a plus starter, but it's still more of a second round grade, even though I know he's going to first. I'm going to move him to a 6'5" after watching him, which is a boom bust grade, but it's also way up the charts. Like it's solid in the first round, and it's just watching him throw. But it wasn't just watching him throw, Bucky. You could feel him on the field. He just had a command, and he had a confidence level. But I think he could end up being a huge bust for this reason. You have to have a plan for him. He is not ready to step into the NFL and play right away.
Well, yeah, and we've talking about the Mahomes plan, that's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. Like, Mahomes did the same thing.
Ignore the fan base, though.
Yeah, so the funny thing will be, we've seen this kind of in terms of Trey Lance only played 1 year of football at North Dakota State. Trey Lance had athletic attributes that people raved about. Mm-hmm. Trey Lance has struggled in the National Football League being a starting quarterback to the point where when Brock Purdy came in and had the success, there was an expectation that Brock Purdy would be the Niners quarterback when the season kicked off in 2023 if he wasn't injured in the postseason.
Right.
And so now when you think about just the lack of experience that Anthony Richardson enters the league with, in spite of all the physical traits, how long will it be before he's able to be a solid quarterback in the league if he ever gets to that point? That's the gamble that you're dealing with.
And you know, it's the same issue that right now I think Chicago has with Justin Fields, in that you love what Justin's doing on the ground, but the fact is it cannot be an impediment to his development as a passer. In other words, you start calling plays and designing your offense like, man, It's a big pull. It's a siren song where you say, "Ooh, he's going to run for 140. We're going to win this game." Yeah, but are you doing what it takes in your offensive scheming to develop him into a passer. And if you don't ever do that and they don't develop, you're going to run into injuries and you're going to run out of steam and the guy won't have developed. So Richardson, to his credit, there were games he was staying in the pocket where I'm like, run in college. And I give him credit for trying to develop as a passer. But, you've got to have a plan.
You got to
not have him out there early.
And the other thing with Justin Fields was a starter for two seasons.
Yeah.
Two full seasons.
You think 2 to 3 is a, okay, so we've got more and more. Dwayne Haskins is a one-year starter.
Yeah.
Justin was a two-year starter. How important, Brock Purdy was a four-year starter.
Trubisky, one year.
How important, I mean, I guess you're answering the question right now, but it is, I mean, 2 years versus 3 years, Trey Lance, 1 year.
Yeah.
I mean, we're starting to really see it makes a big difference.
Huge difference. And so that's why that conversation, everyone will be excited about Anthony Richardson coming out of the combine. But then what do team builders think about, like, that gamble when it really comes down to it? Because it's one to speculate. It's another thing to be on the clock and say, all right, we're going to turn the card in with Anthony Richardson. What's our plan? Mm-hmm. And particularly if you're talking about a first round pick that you're using, it still scares me to use a first round pick on him despite all the glowing measurables and all that other stuff.
Yeah, look, I get all that. The last thing I'll say on the quarterbacks as a whole, I thought there were a couple other guys that made some nice throws. I think Stetson Bennett surprised some people.
He can throw the ball.
At how far he could put it down on target down the field. Now, he was throwing the ball at about 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage. I don't know that you're going to be able to do,
Yeah.
But I thought
well, he
can sling it. And he really put it out there for some
You're saying he moved up in the batter's box?
A little bit. A little bit. But then, you know, and this pains me in the Hoosier State to
Oh, no.
Give him credit. Boiler up.
He was throwing. Aiden O'Connell was throwing accurate.
He throws a very catchable ball.
He does.
And I was talking to Kurt about that. And Kurt was down here for NFL Plus and was talking about it. It was like, hey, look, that was the thing that was worrying me. You know, Kurt saying this, he's like, I didn't want to see guys try to like knock down a brick wall with the football. Yeah. And Aiden O'Connell throws a little pillow, but the ball gets there and it gets there accurately. So credit to the Boilermaker.
How about that? That's a lot of progress, significant progress for a Red to put aside as
I'm proud of you.
And Cream to
I'm proud of
acknowledge,
you,
I still acknowledge the quarterback play.
You're growing as a person.
Well,
that's tremendous growth on the Sunday. Yeah. That's great. So look, we're going to take a break now. We'll come back and talk about some of these pass catchers, wide receivers.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Back on the Move to Six podcast, hanging with my guys, Brett, Lance. We're going to talk about these wide receivers, these pass catchers, and playmakers. Brett,
yep.
General thoughts on the group.
Fast group. I thought it was fast group, and I should have. I'm kicking myself because if you follow us over on the NFL Scouting Combine today, over on NFL.com and the NFL channel, I went with Tyler Scott as the guy who's going to run the fastest 40. And when he popped off on the 4.51 on that first rep, I was like, whoa, what's happening here? But I should have stuck with my guy, Trey Palmer. From LSU, transferred to Nebraska, played his final year in Lincoln, who got the fastest time of the day at 4.33. So fast group. And then on the field, look, to me, it was Jaxon Smith-Njigba and everybody else running routes.
Oh, it was great. I mean, he was great. I'm too low on him.
Yeah.
I'm too low on him. I got to go back and change because you know what it was? Being here in person and watching his transition smoothness where he doesn't even – his from getting, you know, there's no up, there's no down, his smoothness and his transitions. Because my number one concern is separation, right? But when you are that smooth, and then you see his three cone and his short shuttle numbers, you see them, Bucky?
Yeah.
They're bananas.
I watched it. Low numbers and all that. And that's why when we talk about this position is about technique, skill. He has those things. He's not going to run fast. I expect him to be a mid 4.5 guy, but he understands how to get open. And as Rhett's favorite guy, Cooper Kupp has done. If you can get open, that's what it is. And whether he plays primarily from the slot or not, it doesn't matter to me. he is the most refined of all the players that were in the building. Yeah. And I think he certainly helped himself people are going to look and say, hey, I want a technician. I want someone who's polished. He's that
guy. I think he's a strong enough body, too, to shield and to make some of those combat catches.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. He's got strong hands. Oh, no, that's a big strength of his. Yeah. And, you know, I think here's another smart thing. On one sense, this is the fastest turf you're going to run on, more than likely. So you say, well, why wouldn't you run here if it's a fast turf? On the other hand, he just put in everyone's mind, look how it looks when I'm doing football stuff. And so even if he runs a 4.61 at his pro day, you got to see the football stuff first. That's in your mind already. And you may not go into watching the football drills with, you know, a 40 time, if it was a disappointing 40 time, as a confirmation bias mechanism. So, yeah, I as long as he doesn't run a crazy slow time, my grade on him has to come up. Now, I will say this. As somebody who is a big Jalin Hyatt fan for what he does with elite speed, A, I'm not worried that he ran a 4.4. Look, on the field, he looks like a 4.240 guy.
Oh, he's fat.
So I'm not worried about all that. Maybe I'm overdoing this, but I did not love his body language on the field yesterday. He had a couple drops. And just walk and look sad.
Yeah, around here. A lot of pressure. Ran. Yeah, but he has to be able to get out of that. And that'll be some of the concern with him. Not necessarily the drops, but the route running. What does he have in his bag?
Yeah.
A lot of people talked about that offense, because that offense is an extension of the Art Browse offense at Baylor,
yep,
where you produced these numbers, but you really didn't have many pros come out of there that had immediate success.
It's a matchup-based offense.
Yeah, and when I talked to wide receiver coaches that interviewed him, they talked about, hey, do you want to be inside or outside? And his response was always to go in the slot. And so when you think about someone with that kind of speed, you would like to put them on the outside. But if he's uncomfortable, it's going to be hard for you to get a lot of that production out of him.
He gets pressed. He didn't. Yeah. You can tell he didn't get pressed a lot, because you really can't. And they would motion him. Like they did this against Alabama. They motioned him all the way across the formation because Alabama was switching off based on alignment. And so they were – Heupel did a brilliant job of matching him up against Helms, the safety, on the matchups. And it was a nightmare for Alabama. And Georgia, when they saw him, they're like, no.
And you get him into a stack spot, too, where he's got one of his teammates right in front of him, and he can kind of feed off.
And they did that a lot, by the way. They did
Alabama.
That a lot,
Yes. Well, it's the same offense Indiana runs. So I saw it all day, all day long. And, I mean, they use every inch of the field, spread you out. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's a tough thing. He has to have a certain role. I talked to a wide receiver coach. We talked about that Tig and Junior role where you get outside, he runs the vertical, he clears the zone.
Yeah.
He's the number two, number three, or maybe a slower possession receiver. That's your number one receiver.
Oh, he's still very valuable.
Yeah. Opportunities for him. But I think for him, his success will be tied to being placed in the right role in the right scheme.
100%.
So he's not asked to do stuff that he doesn't do well.
Another guy that really popped to me as I was watching these guys run through the routes, and now I'm trying to find his 40 time. I really liked what Zay Flowers did in effort-wise, man. Hands were great. Really, Quentin Johnston showed that he could catch the football with his hands.
He did.
And the gauntlet was perfect. Coming down in both ways. Talked to a wide receiver coach about what he saw from him, you know, based on what, you know, the drops on tape. He's like, I'm not worried about the drops on tape. The drops on tape are concentration drops, a lot of them. I get it.
When it was in breaking.
Yeah, no, that's
just noisy in there.
Yeah, it was loud in the crowd.
Yeah,
it gets loud in the crowd.
Bottom line was they weren't worried about the hands after what they saw today. So
the guy that I love was your guy, Bucky, Josh Downs. And look, I had a first round grade on him coming in here.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. He ran well. He was in the 4.4s, which there were some people who thought he'd run in the 4.5s. He ran in the 4.4s. And he is so smooth, buttery smooth in everything he does. The routes come easy for him. The hands were just absolutely, when it hit the hands, it's like a catcher's mitt.
Yeah, super soft.
Very soft. And, you know, he and Zay Flowers, to me, were the most impressive wide receivers I saw yesterday. But I did like and Quentin Johnston had a fantastic workout, by the way.
I thought
he didn't run, but his jumps were great.
He was good
in the field. But, man, Flowers and Josh Downs just absolutely. And so did Charlie Jones. Oh, I'll say it. You don't have to say it.
Purdue. Boiler up.
Well, no. I'll just call him Iowa. It's fine. I'll just call him Iowa. I might call him Buffalo.
Former Iowa wide receiver who didn't get enough looks, so he went to Purdue with Aiden O'Connell. Charlie Jones looked really good out of here, too.
He's fast. A low 4.440. I mean, he is going to be – somebody's going to love him.
Charlie Jones and Riley Moss –
They represented for the tribe. Yeah. They certainly held on. They represented it. Here's the thing. Jordan Addison, mid 4.5s.
Yeah.
Or whatever. When I talked to some receiver coaches, you know, I was surprised because it's funny when you poll receiver coaches on who they like. It is really split on this class in terms of who's the presumptive number one.
Yeah.
There's some guys that are team. Jordan Addison, there are other guys that are like, I didn't see it much. He's a glide. I don't know if he has the burst and the juice. This will be a fascinating discussion that we'll continue to have as we get down the line. Any other guys that stood out or came kind of out of the blue that maybe we need to go back and look at a little more tape of and talk about?
You know, I thought Jacob Copeland did some nice things.
I was going to say him, too. I thought he looked great in drills.
He didn't do much. He was a highly recruited kid going to Florida and then transferred into Maryland this last. They had three Maryland dudes in this crew.
When did Maryland have all these dudes? Like
all the running backs, the DBs.
They got all the DBs. They're super athletic.
Jacob Copeland did a nice job catching the ball, running routes. I was actually – I was standing around with a couple other guys. I mean, and he kept just popping. Everybody's like, "Wait, who is that?" And I was like,
"There's a lot of guys falling down on the turf, on turns."
Yes,
and the guys who are under their feet and sticking a hard foot in the ground, and really, you know, Copeland was one of them. Downs was one of them. Flowers. These guys weren't falling much, and you know, it just shows your balance, Bucky. You're a guy who played wide receiver, man. It's not. And DB, they're both two positions because you have to transition. Yeah. Keeping your feet underneath you, being able to keep your weight centered is such an art form when it comes to running routes.
It is such an art form. I'm glad you brought up that DB thing. I'm looking at these 4.3s, and I don't see as many 4.3s in the wide receiver thing.
Yeah.
I'll try to tell you about those decathletes on the other side.
You know who kind of popped to me running the 40, because I haven't watched a ton of him yet, was Bryce Ford Wheaton. But he had some drops out there on the field.
Yeah, the tape, I think he's going to be a better workout guy than the tape guy. Yeah, but Copeland is a guy who
– super fast.
And Matt Landers from Arkansas.
Yeah.
So there's some flashes of Matt Landers on tape that I liked. And then all of a sudden, and he's not a small guy, and he ran into 4.3s.
Oh, yeah, Arkansas.
I like take that.
Yeah, what about Marvin Mims? Any love on the streets for Marvin Mims?
Yeah, a lot of love on the streets for Marvin Mims. As a matter of fact, I think there's some people trying to keep him under wraps.
Oh, that's
they don't want
guy.
It to get loud.
That's their guy.
Yeah, they don't want it to get loud. They said, keep on, do the downs and the Zay thing.
I mean,
keep doing that.
I mean, because we look at
Marvin quiet.
4.38?
Yeah.
That's fast.
Yeah. That's really fast for a guy that is very productive. Let's go to these tight ends.
Let's do it.
Tight ends. Who are we loving after watching tight ends work out? Who are we loving?
Yeah, like I'm going to talk about this today when we get to Combine today to preview all these workouts, man. But Darnell Washington.
Uh-huh. Yes.
You know, we talk about how he looks on tape like a sixth offensive lineman. He looked out here.
Yes.
Like he could, you know. He could be one of those, you know, flex out tight ends that runs around like a receiver. I mean, like he was very smooth for a big man. So he really caught my eye. And then he had the play of the day, the splash play of the day, which was the very last rep of the day as well. But the other one for me on the tight end was Will Mallory. You know, he comes from the first family of football coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Bill Mallory, legendary head coach of the Indiana Hoosiers.
Legendary.
His uncle, Kurt Mallory, current head coach, Indiana State. Of course, you know his dad, Mike Mallory, has been a coach in the league for 30 years. His uncle, Doug, has been another coach in the league for years.
So you're saying he's going into coaching?
Well, he might, but he's going to play and he's going to be successful as a player first. And the other part of it is, you know, he spent time when his uncle Doug was down in New Orleans coaching Jeremy Shockey and Jimmy Graham.
Whoa.
And spent time being around those guys and being around, and then ended up going to Miami himself.
Well, I mean, why wasn't he a Hoosier? I'm trying to figure out who's legendary.
You know, there's a lot of allegiances there in that family. But anyway, so like he's a, I thought he ran really well. He ran fast for one. And then I thought he was really smooth in the routes, good hands. He just put up 20 on the bench over here too. So I think there's a lot to like about Will.
No, I think he did a fantastic workout, maybe underutilized at the University of Miami.
Yeah.
He's a guy that has those traits. And the one thing that we do know about tight ends is not necessarily about the production that they come into the National Football League with, some of these guys just explode when they get to the National Football League if they have the traits. Will Mallory is one. A guy that we talked about coming in, Luke Musgrave, 4'6", 1.
He didn't work out, though.
Didn't work out. The vertical, very strange inches.
Yeah.
So we're 10'5", broad jump. Athletically, he looks the part. But, yeah, I mean, you want
to This is one of the things he's best at is running routes. I don't know why he wouldn't be out here doing that. Well, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
I thought he expected it to be in the
4-5-6 range. Now, I can tell you, I was down there, and the teams on the hand timing, they had 2-4-5-6 for him.
Yeah, normally
4-5-6, 4-5-6.
So normally, what happens? Our unofficial times or the official times? Normally, teams carry time that's probably anywhere from 0.06 to 0.08 faster.
Yeah,
and so in the stands, those guys on their time, he'll come in at a 4-5. But athletically, he's the freak that you want. You do wonder, why didn't he elect to work out?
Well, there was some injury stuff recently, right? And Ian Rappaport had said that they thought he got all the MRIs.
Must have been, because he was a Senior Bowl going through routes and everything.
Well, yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I'm not worried about it, just for the record. I tell you, a guy who had a great testing day that has to be mentioned that I didn't really love on tape. But as an athlete now, I got to go back and just say, let me just make sure. Zach Kuntz from Old Dominion ran a 4.55.
At 6'7"?
40 inches, and he had a broad jump of 10.8. Like, these are the numbers that we just got done talking about for the most part with Anthony Richardson, and except, you know, AR was faster. But these are elite tight end athletic numbers.
Like, tied for the best bench, too, by the way, right over here at 23 reps.
Yeah. I mean, this workout, you must go back and say, okay, now wait, I got to make sure on him now, because I can't miss on a freak show.
Yeah. It's an eye-opener, and so people will look at that, and they'll run with that and do it. Last thing, anything about Michael Mayer? Notre Dame ran 4.70.
He was Michael Mayer. I mean, Michael Mayer.
Had some drops, actually, out there on the field.
Did.
That was a little surprising to
me. He did, but Michael Mayer is, what is it, on the wire? He's a 40-degree day? Nothing, you know. Nothing to this way, nothing to that way. He's just an old Michael Mayer comes out. He doesn't look like some Greek god He really didn't. He ran a 4.7, which is the most, you know, oatmeal 40 time that I've seen. You know exactly what it's going to be. It's going to be nutritious. You put a little something in it.
That's a new one.
I need a little cinnamon in my oatmeal.
That's what I'm saying.
I need a little more flavor.
But I'm saying you can put whatever you want in it, and that's what Michael Mayer would do for you as a Y who's a combo tight end. And I know exactly there's not going to be any surprises with Michael Mayer for me when he becomes the football player.
I'm just telling you right now, if I'm going to go for the more traditional tight end, I'm taking Darnell Washington in front of Michael Mayer.
Are you really?
6 times out of 7. Yeah.
Ooh. Are you really?
Yeah.
Look at you.
But he doesn't have the same production.
Right there.
That is a hot take. It's a Sunday, so it might go under the radar. It may not hit the Twitter wire. But Red Lewis said that he would take Darnell Washington six days out of seven.
But there's nothing that stands out about Mayer, and there's stuff that stands out about Washington. So I get it.
Yeah, you gamble the upside.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good one. I'll make sure make sure we bring that up on path to the draft. Well, make sure we have that conversation.
I mean, I might take Mayer with the next pick. So like I'm saying like there he's a seventh round guy.
Attaboy, Rhett.
You know what I mean?
Attaboy, Rhett.
All right.
So look, man, this is fun. The combine is always fun. Today at the combine, they got the running backs kind of doing their deal.
O-linemen
running around. You know, the guys on a Sunday. running around doing their thing, kick slide and all that. But we'll have all of your stuff. We'll wrap up the combine in totality.
Yes.
When we have our next podcast, that'll be on Tuesday, that'll drop. DJ will be back. We'll get his thoughts and talk about it all. Thanks so much for joining the Move to Six podcast. We'll see you soon.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.